Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What's that?
I hate, future robots?
Yeah, they're not great most of the time.
Yeah. Those geisha ones were pretty cool, though.
Once they turned evil, they were cool.
Exactly. In Ghost in the Shell. I don't know the anime. I want to go into this open-hearted to the audience. And this is one of those examples of the way that you watch it in the first time is what you're going to like more. It doesn't matter what happens. Like, there's this Harry Potter thing where there's two different guys that read the Harry Potter book, the English version, they quote. There's the British English version and the American English version,
mm-hmm.
both read by British people. But the American version is the Sorcerer's Stone instead of Philosopher's Stone.
Right.
Some of the words are changed better. His name is Jim Dale. He is objectively not as good as Stephen Fry. It's just if you could be a cold mechanical person.
Right.
However, anybody that listened to him first. It's intractable. They say 100% he's the better reader.
Hmm.
Same as anybody that listens to Stephen Fry first. Now, I listened to them simultaneously and decided I'm going to listen to Stephen Fry.
Wait, like one in each ear?
Well, I mean, more so, I was trying to find an audiobook to listen to because I was having bad anxiety. I wanted something to calm me down. I thought Harry Potter would be nice. And I found the Jim Dale one. I'm like, oh, this guy's annoying. And then I saw Stephen Fry read it, and I like Stephen Fry. I'm like, oh, and anyway, much better. But people will never change their mind if they listen to Jim Dale first. It can never happen.
Hmm.
And I very much feel the same way for this movie, where if you watched the anime first and cared for it, there's no way this movie is superseding it because it's so fucking similar. But if you watch the movie first, which is what I did, and then tried to watch the anime, boy, that anime is rough, especially the soundtrack, which we're not here to talk about the anime. I just wanted to get
the soundtrack, do you mean the music or
yeah.
the oh yeah, again, hard disagree there.
Yeah, and I think it's because you watched it when you were young.
No,
it is distracting.
I think it adds to the whole like sort of lyrical and almost dreamlike feel of that movie. Which is a lot more sort of philosophical, I guess, and poetic versus
what I wanted it to be. Yes, that is the movie. That movie is beep boop boop. I'm a robot. Like it, there's the
compared to the American one. You're gonna say that?
No, I'm not even saying compared to the American. Like I mean, just watching it in a vacuum outside. I mean, yeah, I guess even compared to the American one. I'm not saying the American one does philosophical things, but people say that the original Ghost in the Shell was a philosophical work.
Yeah.
I don't think I mean
the whole thing is about the nature of the self.
Yeah, I guess, but like, boy, did it landed poor. I really think they did nothing for me as a. I mean, because getting the plot point. So basically, watching it as that's why I watched it. I was like,
mm-hmm.
Well, because watching the American one is what's obviously lacking in this is the what I thought the anime was going to be about after watching the American one. Because I watched the American one, I'm like, well, what was missing from this movie is. At no point does she question whether she's actually a human.
Mm.
Or if she does, it's some subtle, quick thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like that should be the number one question.
Disagree. But I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, like, if you woke up in a robot body, I think that would be one of the main questions is...
If you woke up in a robot body, yes. But, like, in terms of... If you're comparing these two movies...
No, I'm saying... No, just... Let's... Right now, I'm just talking live action movie.
Okay.
Is watching the live action, my thought was, wake up in a robot body... Over the course of time, I'm going to think, was I ever actually a human?
Yes.
Or is this just somebody programmed this to make the program work better, that they had to invent this past life and pretend that I have a brain in here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she mentions it offhandedly.
Right.
So I went into Ghost in the Shell, the anime, going, I bet you, because everybody talks about how philosophical and deep the anime is, they're going to cover that. Like, that's going to be, like, the main thrust of it. And, like, the first 55 minutes is just shoot them up, there's no thought nonsense.
I'm sorry, that's patently absurd. It's demonstrably absurd because so much of it, it's so talky. It's so just them talking at you for most of that movie, which I think is a criticism I would level towards
Wait,
it.
Which one did you watch?
I watched the 1997 version.
The 95 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 95, not 2.0.
Not 2.0, the original thing.
Because the first like 55 minutes, it's there's some action scenes and they talk to each other like scenes.
They talk to each other a lot. And there is, in that first 55 minutes, discussion about the nature of the self. They're like Major in that one has there's repeated conversations about like the ghost and what it means to be human and like what it means to be a person. Whereas this one is like, how do I know I'm the self? Well, because I am. It's me.
Yeah, I kind of got the same vibe from the anime thing. And I'm not even
whether or not you think they did it well, it's addressed.
But I should tell you, I turned it off by the end of it because a lot of the story beats were the same, which I was kind of hoping more of it wasn't. Which it was fun watching the anime version second, like the fight in the water. I'm like, oh, this is weird watching the source material for the live action fight second. I'm like, well, they did a good job copying this. Like, it's just weird to watch it out of order. But yeah, they bring it up, but I expected more depth to it. But it's just more like, I mean, they're still sitting on a boat.
I think you went in with some. I don't think you met this movie at its level. I think you went in with some expectations.
Well, yeah, because why is anybody even remember this 1995 movie that isn't?
Because it's good. I mean, like,
I just didn't.
You're going into it going, oh, boy, I hope it's like this one I just saw, and it's not like that.
No, I was not.
You have just been saying that.
No, you have just not been paying very good attention. Okay, I said I went into it wondering what, because there's chunks missing from the live action movie. I went, oh, I wonder if this is covered in the original movie.
Are two action scenes. Like, there's not even two action scenes. Like, two people get shot.
No, there's the. The garbage man scene is in the original in the first 55. The chase sequence that ends in the water is in the first 55.
That's part of the same sequence.
Okay, the dropping through the off the building.
But that's not really an action sequence. That's one thing. That's a moment.
But then she hunts down the people in the building. There's like a whole shoot 'em up in there, isn't there?
No, there it is in the remake.
What happens if she jumps off the building?
She jumps off the building because they got rid of in the remake.
Yeah.
They got rid of the whole political intrigue subplot, which fine. That was really kind of confusing in the original, but I do like
Team 6 versus 9. Yeah,
Section 6 versus 9. But I like more that intergovernmental thing rather than just like, well, we're the government, but we also work for this corporation. Just trust us.
Because again, I'm not saying I even like the live action one. I was watching the anime in hopes of it being this landmark thing. And I guess
I mean, also you think about the time it came out. You know, like I had never seen anything like that. It's like watching The Matrix now is kind of silly. At the time it came out.
It's funny because I was about to bring up The Matrix for that very reason is you don't really hear people talk about The Matrix. Like young people don't go, oh yeah, The Matrix, that's going to blow my mind. But like people still talk about Ghost in the Shell. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, watching The Matrix now, it'd be silly. I guess it's just this. I watched so much anime. I watched so much of the kind of foundation bedrock of that kind of 90s anime. And this is one of the few blind spots in it. And some of it is quite good. And yeah, it's just, I wanted more. And my expectations weren't high going into it because I was watching it going, oh yeah, this live action movie didn't do a good job of adapting a thing I've never seen. I was working in the assumption that, oh yeah, that was a swing and a miss. And I was like, it wasn't that big of a miss. Like a lot of the stuff I didn't like about the live action movie, I didn't like about the anime.
But
like,
they fundamentally changed so much about in the live action movie. And that's like, that's not what doesn't work. But like the way they change it, they make it into a movie that just doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, all right. So we should talk about the live action thing. What parts doesn't work for you? Because I think it works as a movie, but I'm so on the edge of that I could easily be convinced otherwise. Because like, I think visually, it's fucking gorgeous. This is a very pretty movie.
At the beginning, yes, but it doesn't feel until towards the end, I think when she finally goes and visits the person that I guess ends up being her mother.
Yeah.
A lot of that space doesn't feel lived in. It's just this shiny set. Like a lot of the city just felt, it's like what you could accuse Blade Runner of being. But I think Blade Runner makes it grimier and feel more lived in.
Yeah. I liked it. Not that I've been to Tokyo, but when I see pictures of what Tokyo looks like, it reminds me of that directly where it's just like, it's way too shiny and doesn't feel like a real city, but it's like, no, it's it is a real city. Like there's like lots of people live there. Like it is true, but looking at pictures of it, it seems kind of impossible. I like the intrusive hologram nature of things. Like the opening scene where she dives through the holographic car, that's not the opening scene, but the sequence. Just there was so much gorgeousness. I love the ads. I loved all the robot designs.
But anyway. I guess those a lot of those were like they weren't like all CG. They were filmed actors that they put up there.
Well, that may be part of it why it like didn't because there wasn't a lot of for a movie that's dealing directly with the uncanny valley. There wasn't a lot of uncanny valley in this.
Yeah,
which is nice because I find it kind of gross. Yeah, what doesn't work about this movie? Because I feel like it works cohesively as a movie, but also that's why I brought up it being good looking. Mm. I think I was pretty distracted by it being pretty, that I wasn't putting a lot of logical thought into it.
I mean, yeah, the plot points track. It's just I don't care.
Yeah.
Is kind of
there's a kind of lack of giving a shit.
Yeah, like they took, even outside of what they changed from the anime, like whatever the core of the anime is sort of about, that sort of the overall themes were westernized in this way, much like the cast, to be like much more sort of rugged individualism. Like whereas the original was a lot more about the malleable sense of self, this one was a lot more like, no, here I am. Individual greatness is fantastic, which I didn't like, but that's in comparison to that.
Yeah.
What I don't like is that it became the Bourne identity. That it became the central thing was like, well, who is Major?
Okay.
Where I don't feel like that was ever that interesting to me.
Is that in the original where she finds her quote unquote mom?
No.
Okay. As I said, I gave up towards the end.
There's questions about whether the Major was a woman to begin with. Like it's that whole thing. But about the malleability of self, which I think this thing tries to do a little bit with that whole last reveal. To try to prevent the whitewashing criticisms, I don't think it works very well.
One of my main problems with this is, and I truly like her as an actress. I don't think she's really gotten to show herself off as an actress in a long time, but like, I think Scarlett Johansson is very talented.
I think she can be, yeah. I mean, and I think she is, but I think, same thing, yeah.
Just, I don't think she was the right choice for this.
No.
She doesn't have that kind of, she's aloof in everything, and I feel like for someone that's playing kind of a robotic, like, I think you needed someone with more empathy.
Well, I think like watch this and watch her performance in Under the Skin. And it's, she's playing characters not really comfortable in their own body sort of thing. And the portrayal in Under the Skin to me is way better. Cause in this one, it seems it's just be distant and don't swing your arms when you walk, which
that's
a Joe Friday move from Dragnet.
In the original, can she not feel stuff as well?
No, she's fine. That's the whole thing. She's also not the only one. Like in that one, it's everybody's a robot. Everyone in Section 9 is a robot, save for Togusa.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the
They can feel stuff they're not like, because that was the number one thing about the concept of this film that bothered me is that would drive a person very insane to be stuck in a, and I guess that's their version of Ghost in a Shell is brain in a robot, which. Would be a dumber title, but a more accurate description of the film.
Well, I mean, it's the whole Cartesian dualism. That's where that term came from, was that the mind, someone, I forget the guy's name, but it was like in the 40s or 50s, talking about Cartesian dualism, saying that he was sort of the mind being encased in the body, sort of the ghost in the machine.
Yeah.
Was the shorthand for that. And there are people, that is actually a thing that can happen. It's pretty rare, but I remember learning about it in this psychology class I took in college where someone like, almost like Darkman, where they had no like nerve endings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they ended up like getting bed sores all over the place because they never knew when to turn over because they didn't get uncomfortable. They bit their tongue to hell and back. And like to test the scientists were basically like throwing rocks at them.
Well, there's a little girl now that is basically Wolverine. So she can't feel anything. Mm-hmm. Like she has to do a lot of that's actually kind of common. Like you can't feel your body. Like so, they have to every morning do a self check to make sure they didn't break any bones at night.
Oh
like
my
basically,
God.
But this girl weirdly enough heals like super fast and doesn't scar, but like scars like exponentially less than we would.
Wow.
So they're looking at her for like gene therapy of like, well, if we could figure out like the good half of your abilities.
Yeah.
Like, cause the not pain thing, if like you could figure out how to flip that switch off and be like, cool, we don't have to give you horrific drugs to make you go into surgery. We could just flip that switch for a minute. What a gorgeous thing.
Yes. And I thought that was some of the odd choices in terms of her being a robot. Like, so when it starts, because the movie tries to lift several things from the original, it opens with a very lovely sequence of a robot being made, essentially of Scarlett Johansson's robot being made.
Wait, did you like that?
Kind of. I thought it looked nice. My problem was the voice going like, now making robot. Like, they're doing the voiceover and telling you what was happening. And I was a little bit like, oh, no.
I was watching that and thinking, oh, John's going to think this is so like Westworld. He's not going to like it.
No, because, I mean, that is how the anime opens. I thought it was done very beautifully here as well.
No, I thought
much
looked,
more sort of westernized.
I thought it looked cool, but it was just one of those modernized. Like, I was just like, oh, it's going to remind him of Westworld. And that's just going to be such a bad fucking...
No, it's fine. Although that sort of central conceit of like, I'm not always the huge fan of that. And I do think this movie skirted that in that it skirted any kind of deep issues in terms of like, so that, I mean, there's a whole like theme about like woman's body being under, you know, like not being in her control. That could be an interesting thing to explore. No, she's going to kick people.
Well, I thought that's what, see, in this version, I shouldn't say that. Let's just keep, what we talk about, we're talking about the movie.
Yeah.
I thought the what they were dealing with, it was ownership of self and like what kind of the idea of soul is not there, which seems to be the kind of overriding theme of the anime.
Right.
This is more brain in a robot. Government owns the robot. So like there is a kind of, because it does kind of allude to kind of a feminist perspective, you know, this is my body. It's my choice, but it isn't her choice. And mm-hmm. it's technically not her body. Because it's owned by another. So
right.
there's kind of an autonomy kind of idea that's going on. And it's not, yeah, it's not deeply deeply delved into. But I think it's fine for how much it does because it's a sprite movie.
Mm.
I think if it was longer, I would be more judgmental of it not going into what it needs to go into. I give this thing like a B-C+. Like, I mean, it's yeah, if this is on at a bar, I'm totally watching this again. This is gorgeous and everybody did their job well. The boss guy is the best character in any fucking thing ever.
Takeshi Kitano, Japanese man.
When he says they shouldn't have sent, what is it, shouldn't have sent mice after a fox or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, that is the fucking coolest man that's ever existed.
I was so excited. I forgot that he was in this.
Yeah.
And I was so excited because he is one of my favorite filmmakers. And just a very bizarre guy. Like, I don't know if
is
you
he
remember.
A filmmaker?
Yeah, he makes these movies. Some of his more recent ones are like Yakuza Outrage, but his like Sonatine, Fireworks, to some extent Kikujiro, they're these very slow paced gangster movies almost. Well, for most of them, yeah, with like these kind of brief explosions of violence. But I really, really like them. And he's also just this huge media figure in Japan. He once made a Nintendo game that starts with online with text on the screen that reads, "This game was made by a guy that hates video games, and it's notoriously difficult and awful."
Oh, it's that guy. You and I have talked about him before.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's if you've ever seen, Maximum Extreme Challenge or whatever, used to be on...
Oh, Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Yeah, like that was a show called Takeshi's Castle.
Yeah,
and so they've overdubbed him. I think he's Vic in the
overdubbed
version.
Oh, that's Takeshi
version.
From Takeshi's Castle?
Yeah.
Wow, so I just looked here. He apparently has directed a recent version of Zatoichi.
Yes, which is okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He directs and stars in a lot of his movies.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes, I've seen some of his movies, and now that I'm like looking at his IMDb here.
Yeah, and he got into a car accident. I think it was right before Fireworks, that like paralyzed half his face, which is kind of why he talks only on half of his face.
Yeah, I mean he is so fucking great at that. I love him. Like I want the whole movie to just be him. Like I wish he talked to Scarlett Johansson and somehow got a performance out of her.
Well, interesting connection there. He's in Johnny Mnemonic as well. And they made the much wiser choice in this one to not just have him learn his lines phonetically and just speak Japanese.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That made sense.
Yeah.
I was wondering why he was speaking Japanese. So he doesn't speak English.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think very well, but he made an American movie called Brother with Omar Epps it's okay.
So as much as I don't want to talk about the whitewashing issue, but I think we should bring up like a little bit only because I don't understand why this movie was whitewashed the way it was. It doesn't.
No,
I don't like the way they if this was an American Ghost in the Shell,
mm-hmm.
it takes place in future New York.
Yeah.
Instead of Neo Tokyo or whatever the hell this is. And then the same movie takes place. It would make a little bit more sense, except for the guy we're talking about. But like, why? It's like a weird blind spot to the whitewashing issue.
I think the movie for wanting to take place in Asia and having
and
having a primarily like Asian cast around a lot of this, it was a very odd choice. Yeah. And I think at the end to have them be like, oh no, like this honky corporation actually like took these runaways or these refugees and stole their bodies and put them in these whitewashed bodies.
Yeah.
Okay. I can kind of see the sort of cyberpunky thing you're doing there, but it doesn't really work in a giant motion picture that also is cast the way it's cast, mm-hmm. because you need a bankable star in the lead. Like if you have this multi-million dollar production, you're not going to put some like unknown person in it because I mean, the director's not a person of tremendous note. That's going to sell this thing. Yeah, I think
even if just the other actors around her were Asian, would be fine. It's a weird choice to put it in Tokyo or where the hell they're supposed to be.
Yeah, no, I believe it is. And it's not his fault necessarily, but the actor that plays Batu
is that eyeballs?
That's eyeballs, okay. Which I thought that choice. How they did his eyes was much creepier maybe than what they intended. I don't know, but it was
watching the anime. I was actually really proud of the American version of how the fuck did you handle that? Cause that's something that can only exist in a drawing,
it looks more like almost those sunglasses that have the sides to them. Whereas these just look like little camera lenses just jammed into flesh.
You're right, but like what? That's a difficult, like, yeah. You should have, like, if there's one part of the story you should have ignored, that's the one you could just
because of the fact that they, I realize we're kind of all over the map here, but like, because they're trying to sort of have this, like, cybernetics is bad, there's this kind of through line of that, where it's like, maybe it's not all it's cracked up to be. They give that to Bat, they make Bata lose his eyes and get those, and then it's weird, but he's more like the Major, so they get along better. And I just thought that was a weird choice rather than just have him have those. But
it's a weird choice on another level too, is that they bothered to spend a conversation saying, no, I chose to have these.
Yeah.
Instead of him waking up body horror style, the same way she woke up without a body. Oh, these were what we had. You're a soldier, so you got soldier eyes instead. And now you're going to look like a monster and dogs are going to run away from you.
Yeah.
Also, dogs don't care what your eyes look like.
Yeah, they're fine.
But I mean, that's not the movie's fault. That's that guy being stupid because he exists as an outside character.
But he is Euron Greyjoy in Game of Thrones. And
I don't remember which one. Is that the guy that got his dick chopped off?
That is the soccer hooligan that they got as the big villain for the last few seasons.
Oh, he's the one that chopped the other guy's dick off.
No, that's Ramsay Bolton.
Who's Euron Greyjoy?
Euron Greyjoy is the guy that has the Navy and gets with Cersei.
Oh, of course. Soccer hooligan's a great way to describe him. Yeah. Sorry. You know, yeah. You're 100%
and it's,
right.
And,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
And that was a character that in the book was like a death metal evil god, basically.
Yeah,
that they just turned into this soccer hooligan. Yeah, yeah. So I see him and I'm just like, ah, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Even though none of that is his fault. Like, he was fine. They just made that character stupid. And so I already don't like him. I also just the choice of going with trying to mirror Bateau's like platinum hair, but having him have black or, you know, dark haired stubble just made him seem real Euro trashy.
Going back to whitewashing, every time I watch anime, not every time, but when I watch anime in the context of something having been remade or going into live action,
mm-hmm.
anime isn't drawn. They don't look like they're drawn Asian.
Mm.
It's a weird, so like that guy, like if I had watched Ghost in the Shell, the original 95 one, I would think that Eyeballs was a white dude.
Sure.
It's just a weird, like, the arbitrary line at which you go, because it's not like Major in the anime looks like an Asian lady.
No, but her name is Motoko Kusanagi.
No, obviously. No, but the same in this one, technically.
Yeah, well.
Of course I'm being facetious.
It's Major obviously more, Killiam or something.
Yeah, more problematic in the you know, your main character being it, but it's one of the weird kind of like, when does the line get drawn of like, like if you made a like a live action, actually here's exactly what I want. They made a live action Simpsons and they cast like Hispanic dude for Bart. Mm-hmm. Would they flip out going, no, Bart's obviously white?
Absolutely they
no,
would.
No, I know they would, but it's like yeah, this, no, I'm just saying the kind of hilarity of it is like, those lines are, I mean, the arbitrary thing that we're calling race is not defined properly to be the one that we are the, in the show, the yellow people are the white people. Cause that's how Bart works.
But if I think if it was, if it had more effectively made a comment about that, you know, or that was like a core thing or something,
and it's
that would have, that would have made a little bit more sense. But otherwise it just seems like, you know, Hollywood politics.
No, it's, I can't, and I am not a politics guy. I think art should exist for art's sakes, but it was, I don't want to make the whole show about this, but it was fucking dumb not to cash Asian. It's just, and I'm not, I don't believe in this shit. Like it's, I mean, I do to a certain extent. Like I think sometimes it is actually problematic. Like when, you know, minority actors are losing roles for it, but it's a fucking anime. It's in Japanese originally. Why can't, her name is Whitey McWhitely. Her name is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
You could, her name could, I mean, holy fuck, her name could be Karen Smith for fuck's sake. Sorry, it's just,
it's pretty ridiculous.
I didn't think it would bother me that much, but it like, as they're more like, because this is so like, I mean, the scenes are so like Japan City.
Right.
Like it looks like what they're trying to depict as like Neo Tokyo is all the anime. I think that's from Akira, they call it Neo Tokyo.
Yeah, but I think they try to get over that by having the rest of her squad be the sort of multi-ethnic grab bag. And then at the beginning, when Michael Wincott, who I was very surprised to see still in operation, was the doctor guy, the guy that's attacked by the geisha at the beginning, the geisha robot, and he's like pitching, selling.
Is that Crobat guy?
That's Crobat guy.
Okay, yeah.
And he's like, he's pitching different cybernetic stuff to like some African guy.
Oh, Kingsley Shacklebolt. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, who's, I have
no idea. Nothing. That's a Harry Potter reference.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
There's one black-eyed Harry Potter. It's just, this is, we're just, since we're on the race issue, it's just.
But I think they were trying to be like, no, this is a melting pot, so it's fine. Yeah. You know, I think that was another way they tried to like cover for it, I guess, but it just didn't really read for a lot of.
Yeah, it's the location setting that just, we're going to move on to another thing. Just set it in fucking Neo New York.
Yeah. It's like there keeps being talk of them remaking Akira and like an Americanized version where it's like, it's Billy Kaneda and Tony Tetsuo. You know? It's like, yeah, fine. Just, yeah, if you're going to do it, just do it that way, dummies.
I don't know if he's still attached, but Taika Waititi was attached to that, which I think just the kind of techno-neon, like high-speed weirdness, I think he could do
I think he's too silly.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose so, but I don't know that you could do that seriously. And actually, so we're talking about Akira here, but let's switch back to Ghost in the Shell for the exact same thing. Is I think, not that this is unadaptable, but I think there's an inherent silliness in anime that can't be transferred to the screen without there being like this kind of disconnect. And Ghost in the Shell isn't particularly silly, the original anime, but like I think some of the concepts work better.
No,
I
mean, sure.
Yeah, like it just, yeah. It's trying to handle it in fleshy people doing it. Just, there's something inherent, like, it's not the right medium. It should be like a manga or an anime.
Well, like, it's like a lot of superhero costumes. Like when you see them in like real life, it's like, what is that? You're just in underwear.
You look like an asshole. Yeah, like the second we started like filming things, we're like, yeah, no, capes are dumb as shit.
It's
real
stupid.
Yeah, like you would follow that like a lot.
Yeah. But no, I think there's something true about that. I think one thing that gets looked over in the whole whitewashing conversation is how they completely, what would you call it, Irish washing? Because the head of the corporation, Cutter, is clearly supposed to be Liam Neeson, but he is not Liam Neeson.
I thought he was Liam Neeson at least four times, even though it's well established that's not Liam Neeson.
It was like at the very beginning, you see behind this window, I'm like, Liam Neeson's in this? And then took me a long time to figure out that it wasn't Liam Neeson.
Also, here's a real question. Why isn't Liam Neeson? I mean, that guy's acting in in 2019, he's acting in direct-to-VHS movies.
Yeah, but I think that's why. He's a busy man.
Yeah, the next Steven Seagal movie is with him.
Yeah, he's busy coming clean about wanting to fight black people.
Yeah, so this is, I just found the spot where I realized, I mean, it's early in the movie, but I was just looking at my notes. I put, the robots with the opening faces are nice. This movie looks great. She falls through a holographic car. Shit, do I like this movie? ?
Yeah, I mean, like visually it is impressive, but it is, there is just not, it's not enough to keep me interested throughout because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't change or anything. It's still that same level of kind of shiny and whatever.
Well, talking about shiny is the only thing I'd seen of this movie was a Mythbusters or an Adam Savage on YouTube thing where he was trying to recreate the geisha faces, or maybe he originally made the geisha faces, the ones that open up and articulate and the tentacles come out. I don't know if there's ever been a better looking robot on the screen ever.
It's pretty cool.
That is fucking awesome.
Yeah. And
the way
good...
those plates fit together, because that's practical.
Yeah.
And those plates are almost seamless. Oh God, that was gorgeous.
Yeah. The way it does feel like a lot of future sci-fi robots now, like let's look at something like the Avengers Ultron or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, Ultron's not maybe the best example, but, you know, where it's like so far gone sci-fi stuff where it doesn't even seem
more like I Am Robot or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I Robot.
I Robot. What's I Am Robot?
The correct way to say it. I have no idea.
Okay.
I think you're conflating with I Am Legend. Those are both Will Smith.
No,
properties.
I think there's a documentary called I Am. It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Let's go.
But yeah, it was that. Those elements felt very real, and I did like some of that. Some of the more human prosthetic stuff, like later when they she's getting checked by the one, the major's getting checked by the one doctor that has the removable eye plate.
Oh yeah,
that was cool. Very jarring. Yeah. But in the way that it was meant to be. But it's very all of a sudden she just takes off her eyes and like plugs something else in.
Oh, that was, and that looked beautiful, because have you ever seen someone with an actual like old school like that dude from Buscemi, Gangster, Atlantic City,
Boardwalk Empire.
That guy with the faceplate, that his face, like, did you ever see people that had like worse, that their eyes, like their head cavities basically open, and if you see like pictures of that. And it's got that just this dark, like, oh, like there's something like
it's upsetting.
It's like that. It's like the thing on the internet where people show that picture of like a lot of circles close together and some people get really grossed out by it.
Yeah.
Which I'm one of them. But it's got that same like gnarly like, oh, no, this is wrong.
Oh,
like,
did you hear about the iPhone? The new iPhone has like three lenses on the back, and there are people that are like, I have that like tryptophobia or whatever.
Yeah, that's the exact thing. Yeah.
And they're like,
I don't want that. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. If anybody ever takes a picture of me with an iPhone, I'll go, well, that's weird. Why would anybody want to take a picture of me? Secondary to that. Hey, look, my. Yeah. First of all, why are you taking a picture of me? What the? There's no photographic evidence in my life. Second of all, oh, fuck.
There's circles. Yeah. Look out.
So the geisha thing, I want to just geek out over that. So the practical face opening was great. Then tentacles coming out.
Yeah.
Great. And then backwards articulating arms and legs spider walking.
Yeah. So these, I think we should probably set this up. Yeah. This guy's attacked by a geisha robot. He's at like a dinner, and these robotic geishas are serving him. And then one of them, takes him hostage. The face opens up to become like the nightmare face of Ethan. All these plugs come out of the mouth, and when it's attacked by all the security forces, it gets all like spidery and starts climbing up the wall.
Oh God. It's so
it was
good.
Very, it was very well done. I did enjoy that.
And then, Major shows up and kills him. So I guess we're covered. It just, I guess I want to know what the thought was making her not feel anything.
I don't know, because it was, because this whole thing is this movie, its themes want to be more like the invasiveness of technology rather than like how technology changes us. It's more like, look out, technology is changing us. And with or without your consent. And I want to do this like that's she's this alien person that doesn't feel comfortable. And that makes her sympathize with Kuze and his whole quest, which is, you know, revenge and kind of dumb.
Oh yeah, Kuze. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who plays is Kuze?
His Kuze, you mentioned Boardwalk Empire, is Michael Pitt, who was in Boardwalk Empire for the first two seasons, one of the main characters, until he became so difficult to work with that they killed off his character and basically changed the show.
Okay, so he was the guy. He was the guy that wasn't Nucky, like the
He was
okay,
he was the blonde kid.
He reminds me of, and weirdly enough, it's something that does this a lot better. He reminds me of the lead guy from Altered Carbon.
Not seen it.
It deals with the exact.
Yeah,
same
no,
deals.
I read the book, but I mean, no, I didn't.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, on the show, you're a dullard,
right? On the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, real life. John's a. He's got.
I'm reading four books right now.
Yeah, two PhDs.
Pimp and hose degree.
But yeah, he looked like that guy, which was just it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can't cast because other things, but it's just like that show is literally dealing with consciousness being transferred between robots. It's like, maybe cast somebody. And also, why blonde white guy? It's weird.
Yeah.
So on his point, I mean, whatever. This episode's just going to be one where we talk about things out of order and doesn't matter. But one of the main things that I thought was inarticulate about this movie, he also remembers the burning building that she keeps glitching out and seeing various places, which I actually thought was really cool. I don't know if that's from the original.
No.
But I thought that was a cool concept. Like,
did you watch the original?
I watched, as I said, the first like 45 and I found it fucking incredibly boring and just gave up. So I thought maybe the end, because nothing happens.
You just said earlier that there's nothing but action scenes.
No, I said there's a bunch of action scenes, but either way, it's just boring. Like
it is, talky, and I will grant that. It actually doesn't pick up until the second 45.
Yeah, and that soundtrack just annoyed the shit out of me.
Oh, I love it. I love that soundtrack.
But
that's just taste.
I think I would like it just in a something, I don't know, maybe more subdued version, but it's just so like screaming that it just.
No, I get it. I get it. The screeching voices are a little.
Even if it was down in the sound mix, it was just really penetrating. It's like, this is distracting me from the movie. Yeah. I get what you're doing, but do it smoother.
Yeah. That's like I saw Brazil in the theater recently, and I haven't seen that movie in years. And a pretty like older movie, especially on film, and usually even way older than this, like end up being kind of like tinny or like on the high end of stuff. Yeah. So like I end up plugging my ears through like when things get like really loud and whatever, because it just pierces right through it. So I get it.
So the burning down house,
right?
They set that up that it's just kind of awkward clumsiness of that could be the unicorn from Blade Runner. A symbol that's in two things and make you question, oh, fuck, are we not actually brains? Mm-hmm. Like, are we just robots and that's the way they stabilize their personality by telling us we used to be humans?
Mm-hmm.
No, they were both orphans in the same place that burned down.
Yeah.
Which, that's fucking clunky.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is it like, particularly if you've liked the original and there's these explorations, because what you missed in that one, watching only the first 45 minutes, is that the puppet master is revealed to be a sentient being that like came out of the web, not an AI program, something that basically like came into being and ends up getting trapped in this body. And so there's a little, like, it becomes sort of this MacGuffin of trying to get the thing, but that's the whole thing of like, what is yourself? What is human memories and all this stuff worth? If it kind of, this thing just comes out of nowhere, is that any less human?
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, that rather than trying to make any kind of comment about anything, it's like, no, it turns out you guys know each other.
Yeah, that part, because I'm fine with them not tackling like a deeper issue. Like,
sure. I guess ultimately,
I guess hinting at it is the bothersome part.
Ultimately, it wouldn't bother me as much if this movie weren't just dull. And it is for so much of it. Like a couple of the action scenes are kind of neat, but like the the first like half hour, I was very. It's sparkly and shiny, and that's kind of cool. And then it just kind of keeps going. And it's mercifully short. I don't even think it's 2 hours.
I don't think so either. Yeah, no, I thought the speed helped it. There's a few fight sequences. I love that water fight.
And then watching
the animated version, I'm like, oh, fuck, they did this like fucking beat for beat.
They did, and it stuff like that really drives home like the oddness to me, the oddness of like, well, then why did you change all this other stuff?
Yeah.
And
in
a way that almost mirrors, and I probably talked about on the show before, when they made Resident Evil, the movie, and like Mila Jovovich's character isn't in the games at all. And I was like, you have a perfectly serviceable B movie plot in that first game. What is any of this?
Yeah. It's weird. The thought processes behind it. Yeah. This one was especially, but I did like the glitchy concept, which apparently isn't, I liked that as, not knowing reality versus, because especially in this reality where holograms are being thrown in your face constantly, I love that idea of just like, oh, fuck, there's a, like if I'm walking through the echo chamber studio door here,
right.
I open the door and there's another door. You could be like, oh, is that not, why is there another door? Yeah. Why is it getting, like, that's a cool, fun.
It is. And it's like, you know, we're not too far away from having just watched Blade Runner 2049, which handles that, I think, a little bit better, where it's, what you've built up this whole thing for yourself and the character of Joy that like, and then at the end, you know, she's just telling you what you want to hear. Whereas, that would have been something, again, something more interesting. A great example of that is with the garbage men in the way they kind of handle it. So in the first one, and I still don't fully understand what they're doing, in either version. But the puppet master or slash Kuze gets these garbage men to it. Well, in the original, he convinces one of them through a third guy. It's very convoluted to do a ghost hack, to try to hack this interpreter's brain and do it on their garbage route. So they're just doing these pay phones. So it's harder to trace. This one, they just take control. The garbage men have cybernetics in them, and he just takes control of the garbage men to have them do that.
Yeah.
And then later it's revealed that one of the garbage men has been – the way he did it is he, like, put in a fake memory in their head that one of the garbage men is going through a nasty divorce with his ex-wife, and so he's trying to figure out what's going on because he wants to get custody of his kid. And he's trying to show people this picture of his kid, and it's a picture of him.
Adored. I love that bit.
Well, I found it so much more haunting in the anime one, just because this guy is like, yeah, and now you're just gonna have to live the rest of your life like this. Like it was handled in a much more like focused on him as in that sequence. It seemed like he was the protagonist of that little sequence.
No, I gotcha.
But yeah. In this one, it was still cool, and he's still like, yeah, this insane guy. But then he's just kind of like sloughed off. Although I did like that interrogation scene. Where they're in yeah. that they're in this like glass box that like he can't see out of, but they can see into. And
yeah, and her like being in this like kind of avatar thing that melts when you're done. But I love the him it, like the picture be like my beautiful daughter. Yeah. Just a picture of him. It's like, oh, that's I like yeah. that. Like that's and like this crave. Yeah.
But again, like that's it's an interesting concept that then is just like, well, we use that for a set piece, but we're done with it now.
Yeah.
And I think they try to do it a little bit with those glitching out. But it was so obvious and told you, and you were told what it was from the get-go that it didn't amount to much. You knew exactly what was, you know, it, other than just it spurred her on to be like, well, what is this? I want to try to solve this. Why do I keep seeing this thing? Versus things really bleeding together for her. Because it seemed like that's where it was headed, and it didn't really go that way.
Yeah. It was weird because I liked that bit, but I also kind of like, I wanted her to be more. She also doesn't do much.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of things are just kind of handed to her.
Yes, which is another problem I had again, and not to always just be like, well, in the anime, because yeah. I'm not even a big anime fan, but I liked this one.
It's weird that in the nerd voice you pronounced it anime,
yeah,
and then in the cool John yeah. voice you said anime,
the non book reading voice.
Yeah, like I said, you anime. Actually just put your foot down saying I'm not a nerd.
Yeah. Because that's honestly how yeah. I've always said it.
John reads manga, by the way.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't watch anime, though.
Okay.
Anyway.
You win?
No, I do not. But that the major is a badass. She's like yelling at everybody else, and she's clearly in charge. And in this one, she's there. She's so much more put upon in this one, which was a little bit bummer to see. It's kind of like when you go to see, let's say, Batman or The Dark Knight Rises. You're like, I'm going to go see a Batman movie. And Batman's got a broken leg and not in the movie for yeah. most of it. And you're like, oh, okay.
Well, what I thought was interesting about this, although they use scenes from the original Ghost in the Shell, I like this as kind of a prequel to it.
Mm.
Because, like, in the original Ghost in the Shell, she's a badass, like, from the start.
Right.
And this is almost like how she got there.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that would be something.
Which is an interesting take, but I think they also kind of didn't handle it particularly well no. doing it that way, which I think if they just committed to that and even stole scenes from the original, but just kind of set it up like this is because in the original, Eyeballs has his eyeballs from the beginning. He gets them in this movie. So it's easy enough to kind of slot it beforehand.
Right. But I think some of the choices that were made, like at the end, like I didn't believe her character growth necessarily, like at the end where she's like, I'm a badass now. And I was like, okay. I mean, I guess you solved the problem of figuring out what that stuff was, but
yeah,
I don't know. I felt like the whole thing that supported you being in this organization and like existing, you just kind of destroyed, and there's no real indication of what's next. But while that's not necessarily a bad thing, it didn't feel like a positive thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, legwork in the movie that doesn't really kind of do much. It's just more like kind of it's more of a yeoman's movie. You know, here's the one thing we didn't really cover so far. And I mean, there's probably quite a few things we didn't cover, but there's a nipple issue at play here that I think we really need. I mean, look.
I wondered if this was going to get brought up.
I'm not saying we need to see fucking robot tits.
Talk about whitewashing.
But it's a weird. Why give her sexy, sexy robot curves. It just, I guess, yeah, I mean, that's really the end of it. It's going to sound like a creep, like, oh, I want to see ScarJo's fucking tits, but it's just, it's a weird choice in the movie of like, oh, you're going to give her this, like, sleek, really, like, fecund, lovely woman body, and then, yeah, she's got no lady bits and she doesn't have any nipples. Like, it's just a weird, like,
right.
Why not give her, like, a kind of androgynous robot? Like, why does she look like LOL from Star Trek The Next Generation?
Yeah, you know? Because it looks cooler.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just weird. I liked in the original Ghost in the Shell, it seemed like she was wearing a bodysuit.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath it, I guess the assumption is she just looks like a human.
Right.
Where this one, she is the bodysuit.
Yes.
Which is...
I mean,
it's actually kind of cool, but it's also like, it's just a weird choice. Like, why not just have it be like, this would be silly. It's not like we need a scene for it. Well, why not her have detachable boobs or something where it's like, oh, I don't need them for this mission. Like,
no, but what, like, a rough day. Puts them up at the end of the day. Just like hangs them up.
But think about the resources necessary to have hanging boobs. And like, if you're a soldier, which essentially that's what they're made for.
Right.
Why not? I mean, you'd have a more athletic build. You wouldn't have top heavy fucking, you know, she's a busty lady. Like, it doesn't make sense for the military use.
Well,
so if she's like a covert spy trying to sexy people up, it seems like they should be holographic or replaceable or something. Like, why just do it as a, oh, sexy lady robot? It just seems a little, it's easy.
Well, yeah, I think the fact that, like, because in this movie, there's even a specific thing where Juliette Binoche, who's wonderful, and I just love Juliette Binoche, so...
She's the older
Dr. Ouellette.
Is she the older of the two people with the exact same character? There's Ouellette and the other doctor that are in the same office.
Are you talking about the doctor that removes her eyes?
Yeah.
She's the older. The more matronly.
Okay, yeah. She's the other one. She's not eye remover doctor. Yeah. Okay, got it.
And honestly, I haven't seen her in much, but she was very, very good. She's one of the few things I really, really liked in High Life, which is all right, but she's great. She kind of refers to her more as a human, you know, or like as a person, and then that cutter guy, Mr. Liam Neeson, is like, no, she's a weapon. And so I think it's that. It's they're like, no, we want her to be a weapon, but we're still going to make her sexy because that might throw people off too or something. Like, there's no indication that she's going to ever do, like, covert espionage. She's just going to shoot people.
Yeah, that's the part I guess that's the thing that kind of sits weird with me. Like, in a 007 Bond style where, like, in the original books, if you ever read them, the idea is that he is an amazing spy. So he can be, he's fucking dudes, he's fucking ladies. Like, he can be a nerd, he can be a super athlete. Like, he is the everything you can be to get the mission done.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that would be the parameters of this robot as it's given to us in this movie. But instead it's, well, no, you can be sexy lady robot. And I mean, she kicks ass and whatever. And
right.
I'm not saying sexy ladies can't beat the shit out of people. It just seems like if you're going to build a robot that's literally doesn't have nerve endings to feel things, it's a weird choice. And also just
like, why put a brain in that? Like, what is, yeah.
Yeah. And also just, it's a weird choice for like the military aspect, but also from like the personality. I guess she's trying to, the only thing I think of is that because she was originally a lady, they gave her, but like, then it goes back to the whitewashing thing. She was originally an Asian lady. Mm. Why give her, like, hey, I died a Asian lady, but now I wake up as a busty, sensuous white woman. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just the whole concept is just, it sits weird to me.
Yeah, it seems bizarre.
Like, it makes sense in like Ex Machina, where it's one guy creating him and like kind of part of it is you want to be allured by it. And that's literally brought up. It's like part of the idea of trying to be tricked into believing it's a real person is because it's sexy. But Ex Machina, those robots weren't made to kill people.
Right.
So, yeah.
I was wrong about the ending. I forgot about this, that it's not that everything's destroyed and it's uncertainty, because it's fine, because it ends with her getting naked on a roof and jumping off again. Because that's all she does, apparently.
Yeah, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
And I have a question about that in the anime as well.
Yeah.
At any point, did they show how she stops falling and gets into the building?
Robot magic.
Okay, thank you. I was actually pretty sure it was just robot magic, and it looks awesome. It looks awesome in the anime, looks awesome in this.
Yeah.
But
my guess is like, you know, probably some kind of Batman grappling thing. Don't know, making it up, but yeah.
Fine. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Robot magic,
looks awesome.
Baby.
When she fell through that fucking holographic harp, like, don't care. Don't care what happens here.
Same thing with also that neat effect in terms of something that if you've seen sci-fi that you've seen a billion times.
Never seen a sci-fi movie before this one.
The hacking element of it. Like, yeah. When she takes the deep dive into the geisha robot, I did like that, the way that was done. Like, she's falling into the face, yes, of the thing. It was a little like, that's not actually how it looks, but it was
no, I thought still that was cool. And I liked her getting hacked, where she's getting like kind of subsumed by a virus, where it's like this claustrophobic, her clawing her way back up.
Yes.
That was nice.
That was great. It was, again, this thing where I wish someone didn't go like, she's being hacked. You know, if we could just like know that that was happening.
They put a little bit of a, this movie, I think, was trying to do one of those four quadrant things.
Yes.
That they just tried to make everything a little too obvious.
Right. It seemed like they were trying to go for, I don't think it's a PG-13 rating, is it? They wanted to go for, you know, like, hey, dummies, stupid kids.
Yeah. But I know, I thought that scene looked really nice.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, I don't know this other movie. I can't think of the actress, but there's this other movie where she's like kind of, she's kind of like alien-like, and she doesn't really know how she fits like in. And then like she falls into this like whole black area, and that black area tries to eat like the humanity. It's like she's under the skin. I can't think of the actress who was in it either.
Oh, you're thinking of Species.
I am.
With Natasha Henstridge.
I think Natasha Henstridge was the name I was thinking of. But by the way, it's weird that there's two movies of Scarlett Johansson going into a dark subterranean world, which is trying to eat like...
You've got Under the Skin, you've got Ghost in the Shell, you've got Her. Is anyone going to cast Scarlett Johansson to play an actual human being anytime soon?
Well, here's the problem. She's not very good at it.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I don't know what happened to her. Like, she had such potential starting out, and it's like... She's not a bad actress, but it's...
She just takes bad roles. Got bad agents.
I don't even think it's that, because I think Her is really good. I think just about anybody... Not just about anybody. That's an exaggeration. But I think it's not uniquely a Scarlett Johansson performance. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, Scarlett Johansson did a good job in that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
like, she's like a workman-like actress, where I thought she was going to be... You know, Helen Mirren or something.
Yeah, and I think she has the potential, you know, for that. Like, she can be really, really good in things, but I just think often she's... You know, now she's a movie star, so she's in movie star movies.
Yeah, I guess that sucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not great, because then you end up in movies like Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey-o. I think it's fine. Yeah. I have no problem with this movie other than the... Like, I think if this movie didn't have the whitewashing issue, it probably would have done pretty well.
It's just... like I said, it's real boring. It's... I had a hard time caring about any of it. And I'm not even going like, well, in the end, at a certain point, I'm like, okay, it's not... Let's just try to appreciate this as it is. But just the story points, just like, again, you have that moment where she's like, meets the one, woman and like is touching her. And it's like, can you feel that? What's that like? Don't worry about it. Now just kick a guy. You know what I mean? And if it had just gone one way, I would have felt a little bit better about it, or like just handled that.
I would have liked that too. Now I just have to disagree with you pretty stridently here. You're saying this movie is very boring. I'm going to say this movie is kind of boring. And I'm gonna put my fucking foot down for this one, because I think it's kind of boring. Like, the parts I like, I really like it. I think it's beautiful. Like, I would like to watch it again by fast forwarding the parts that I know are gonna not be there. Or and it's been a while since I went back to the old Alex well. Maybe some competent editing, because I think this movie could have been like, given its length. They could have given this could have been a speedy 97 minutes and been a really fun, like the fun version of this movie.
There's one moment, and it's minor, but I did enjoy it, where during the garbage men fight scene, this character tells Scarlett Johansson to like, go, go. And Scarlett Johansson just like ducks behind this, like moves behind this pedestal and just stops. And the next scene she's running at full speed. I mean, it's a minor. It's totally, it doesn't matter. It's just like a little flub thing.
Yeah.
But I got a big kick out of it.
Yeah. I also don't like her running. So there's, weirdly enough, I'm going to say something positive about
a woman.
the Star Wars prequels.
All right. Go off, King.
But in the first episode of the Star Wars prequels, there's a scene where Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn do this like force run, and they book it. And it's done in this, and they never revisit that power, which is weird because it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Boy, would it be better if she ran like that in this movie, because she's a fucking robot. But she runs like a very fit somebody in her, what, late 20s, early 30s?
Yeah.
Probably early 30s, you know.
It's sort of when you have her trying to play this very physically in this, like, I'm not moving my arms, I'm going to be all awkward how I move. And then have this, you know, you're just running, you're just like a regular ass person. That doesn't fit as good. And now, you know, yeah, you could do that, or at least have her, you know, look at least a little bit more comfortable. Like, no, I am a weapon. This is what I'm made for. But that's also not her character. So I don't know. Yeah, that part about it, just when it's like, oh no, I'm an action movie now. Forget about that other stuff.
Yeah, but can we not just run quickly? What do you want to? You said you wanted to bring something up when we went to break.
Oh, the talk about her mom.
Yeah, let's talk about her mom. Yeah. Now think about your dad. How are you feeling about your dad?
I want to meet that mom. so at some point, yeah, she's given Juliette Binoche, because when they start to uncover the truth about what the Hanukkah robot factory. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah.
The Jews. Yeah. It all goes back to the Jews.
Right.
By the way, I liked it earlier when you referred to them as the honky factory. Yes. We're in the middle of a whitewashing discussion. Oh, yeah. To them as honky. I didn't give you anything because you're in the middle of a sentence.
But well, yeah, but I also, let's pretend I made that joke on purpose and not just like was talking about whitewashing, but it actually works for their, because they're like the what, that
okay, Michael Haneke factory. Okay, well, I take back everything you just said. Yeah. I thought that was a very funny joke. Yeah. I didn't realize.
no, I was just down and I was getting the easy hate white people points.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, the whole thing, Kuze. The robot Kuze, his whole mysterious plot is predicated on him constantly saying, if you support Hanukkah robots, you'll be destroyed, which
yeah,
you couldn't have workshopped that a little bit. It's the point.
It
I
works
guess,
in the Futurama continuum where Santa Claus robot kills Hanukkah robot all the time.
That's true. So when they're getting too close to that, to the truth, and Cutter, the big corporate bad guy, starts killing everybody and trying to get the Major shut down. Juliette Binoche gives Major this like pass key and is like, go to this address. It's the truth. And it's this older Japanese woman who just immediately invites her in and tells her about her dead kid, as you do.
I'm going to take a little bit of, I think you're just annoyed at this movie. I think that actually works well.
It was
She's
fine.
She's a lonely lady. Yeah. Her kid's dead. She just wants someone to talk to. Yeah. Like,
it was,
yeah.
It was fine.
You're being a little flippant there, but like,
I am being flippant.
I get it. It's in a movie that doesn't work, but that scene, yeah. I think that scene on itself, it works.
Yeah. I thought it was a little convenient.
How?
Just that like, oh, well, it turns out I'm reminded of her every day and I'm just going to tell anybody about her. And it turns out you're actually my kid.
Well, I mean, she was invited there just to...
Yeah, but I'm just saying that lady's reaction to her was very
also,
just like, okay.
Also, I think you missed before where Eyeball said, you remind more, you're more of a cat person. And it turns out she was a cat person.
Right, yeah. And she had that flashback of the cat earlier on in the...
John, that's not three shadowing. That's four shadowing.
Oh. Yeah.
The four horsemen of shadowing.
That's true.
Riding, styling, profiling, and cat picking up.
But it doesn't... I mean, I guess at the end, it's like, well, now she's reconnected with her mom, but
yeah,
I don't know. It didn't do anything for me.
I think that's, we're going to the editing thing. So obviously there's stuff that's left, you know, on the cutting room floor for this movie. I think a re-edit where either you go full action movie, get it down to about 95, 97 mm-hmm. minutes. I think it would be really fun. I'm sure they filmed a lot of the more philosophical stuff. Chop out some of the stuff that's in there now, reinsert that and make it more of like a contemplative thing. Make it, you know, 2:15 or whatever. I mean, right. They probably don't have that much. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think what they tried to do was split the difference between what they wanted the movie to be. And it ended up being worse than both halves.
Yeah,
and it just kind of, it sits there. But I think the parts that are strong, man, I really like the strong parts.
Yeah, it just felt too much like the Bourne Identity where it's...
But I mean, the thing is, I like the Bourne Identity.
Yeah, but I like the Bourne Identity. I don't need it again.
But the Bourne Identity doesn't have sweet, sweet robot titties, John.
That's okay, fair
enough. I don't know if you noticed about that.
Well, it does in the Jeremy Renner version.
She's got some sweet silicone hangers. And Jeremy Renner plays against her in the Avengers.
See, it's
so
come
this
full
is circle. This is all part
it's
of the
all
same
in the MCU.
Universe. They should have the Bourne Jason Bourne show up in the MCU and die like 35 seconds in.
That would be pretty
great. Just as kind of a jab to Hawkeye.
Yeah, they're good. Oh man.
So yeah, at the end of the movie, she wins, and the bad guy gets arrested, which is another one of those movies where if she just didn't do anything and hid, the movie would end it the same way.
Yeah. Well, does he get arrested? No, he gets killed. Takeshi Kitano kills him.
Yeah, but like, that had nothing to do with her.
No, I know, but I'm just saying he doesn't get arrested.
Like, this is one of those movies where like Indiana Jones, where if he just hid in a closet the whole movie, the same thing would have happened.
Well,
if she just hid in a closet by the end of it, Takeshi Kitano would have killed. Like, essentially, this movie, you know who the hero is? Takeshi Kikuchi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, also, I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah, again, like they, I'm tired of talking about it in comparison to the original, but yeah, they really just have her character be put upon and stuff happens to her rather than her doing things.
Yeah.
Which is just unfortunate.
Which I think would be somewhat solved if they had done this as a prequel instead of a remake. Because this movie ends if this movie ends and her standing on the top of the building at the end of this movie was the opening shot of the original Ghost in the Shell. No, obviously it doesn't work completely with the way that like the discoveries about who she is work or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But like, boy, that would be a much more effective thing because it explains away some of the character stuff. It also, like, I think that would be a better way to approach this, but that would involve someone that, you know, thought about things before they went, I want to make money off a phrase. Hey, people know the words Ghost in the Shell. If we make a movie called that, we will make money.
Well, it feels like, and you know, like, I don't know how much of this stuff is like comes down from studios or, you know, when the rewrites or whatever, but it feels like, the original the Guillermo del Toro's first Hellboy movie, or like when Dune came out and they were handing out sheets in the theater to giving you, here's what the things where it's just like, we don't trust the audience to empathize with a person that's a cyborg. So we have to make this whole backstory. We have to like invent this whole other thing because otherwise the audience just won't get it. When it's like, they will, like we're so entrenched, like nerd culture is now mainstream culture. 90% of people will get it. And particularly the people you're trying to make this movie for will be fine. And like, if they did that emotional journey well, it'd be fine, but they just didn't. Like I said, her big realization was like, how do I know I'm myself? Because I'm me.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Hi.
Yeah, I think the main problem for me is the split between the middle of either making it kind of the action beats or making it the kind of intellectual beats, and they didn't really commit to either, and it makes it kind of bland. Though I don't find it as boring as you do. Like, I think it's a perfectly serviceable, watchable movie. I'm not gonna sit down and watch it again, but if it's ever on, I'm gonna be happy to have some of these scenes in my brain.
Like, it's like Equilibrium. It's that level for me where I'm like, yeah, it's there.
I think this is much better than Equilibrium.
Yeah. Well, it's fancier than Equilibrium, but it has the same intellectual and emotional depth as Equilibrium.
I think this is like a City of a Thousand Worlds.
More of a Valerian thing?
Where it's, yeah, this looks nice. I'll look at this again if it's ever in front of me. Like that's its positives.
Well, here, okay.
Because I've already forgotten everything. I don't even remember if I like Valerian other than I would like to look at the visuals of this. Like, it was a pleasant eyeball experience.
Yeah. Let me just quick question about Valerian. Does it have gun kata?
I think no, in it the does third not. Act it does.
It does.
Now I'm pretty
I
sure
can guarantee third you act, there's no gun kata.
A bland guy who may be PETA from the Hunger Games does some gun kata.
No, it's no. You not sure? Compared sure? Not compared to the quality gun kata you see in Equilibrium.
Well, there is gun kata in that other movie that I don't remember the name of.
Equilibrium.
No, the guy that made Equilibrium ended up doing another movie.
Ultraviolet.
Yeah, is that it? Yeah. Well done.
With Mila Jovovich, which is basically this movie.
Yeah.
All right. Next week, man. Now I actually kind of want to watch that because I think plot wise it's really similar to this movie.
I'm good.
And it's just as shiny and empty. So.
Yeah, and Mila Jovovich, I like a lot more than.
So I would say if you're going to watch this movie, watch Ultraviolet because it has gun kata.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, if you're going to watch this anime, watch Akira or, you know, any of the other better older. Watch anything by Studio Ghibli, actually. Just forget all this violent stuff. Watch something. Watch Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah,
my
2-year-old nephew, my sister, started showing him Studio Ghibli movies, and they showed him Kiki's Delivery Service, and now he rides around on a broom and
awesome.
Delivers packages.
Yeah, they're delightful.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. That's
yeah.
so great.
Watch Totoro. God. Yeah, don't watch this movie. I mean, watch it if you're bored and it's on and it's free.
There's so many things to watch, and I don't watch this. So, with all the other problems that this movie has, I think the biggest is that it takes place in this sort of futuristic Tokyo, despite the fact that you have all these, like, whitewashed actors. It's supposed to take place in this futuristic Tokyo, and yet there's never any indication of any sort of drifting. And so I felt that was very lacking.
Now, John, may I perchance suggest a solution to this problem?
What would that be?
We could watch Tokyo Drift.
The Fast and the Furious 3, Tokyo Drift.
I mean, I'm guessing I could look at IMDb if there's more than one, but I think that's the one we're going with.
I say let's do it. Let's watch Fast and the Furious 3, Tokyo Drift, considered by some to be the best Fast and the Furious.
And I think it's perfect because given my love for the franchise, in that I saw a bit of the first movie once at a bar, and I saw a bit of the scene where The Rock fought some big guy on or near a plane, I'm basically a Fast and the Furious expert.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
And I think this one is going to really be the one that is about
seals
Fast
the deal.
And Furious yeah. things.
And at least three of them.
No, is this the one where there's no one from the rest of the franchise in it?
From what I understand, yes.
Good.
I mean, readers sound off in the comments, but like that's, I've seen one in four, the two that are,
John,
that
they're
are
not
named,
readers that we don't have comments.
Whatever. I don't know
that
how things work.
That entire statement didn't
yeah,
work
Yeah, so
all.
Cut it, and you won't.
Nope.
But listeners can tell me, the first one is called Fast and the Furious, and then there's The Fast and Furious a little bit later on, and I ended up renting both of them in the same day. And watching both of them because I was like, shit, my time on this other one is going to go away. I don't want to waste my money. And turns out you can kind of pick up what happened between the two. No
Wait,
problem.
There's one called The Fast and the Furious and there's one called Fast and the Furious?
Yeah. Like the four, I think the one after Tokyo Drift is when Dom comes back, Vin Diesel's character yeah. comes back. And I was like, I bet I can, because I knew the second one has Paul Walker and Tyrese, maybe? I don't remember, but I knew that one was kind of like, yeah, no thanks. People say that one. But I'm like, I bet you can pick up Dom's story kind of where it left off. And yeah, you can. It's not a problem. That one's very bad, though. The fourth one. Is the fourth or fifth one, but it's not good.
Yeah. I just want to watch one without Paul Walker, because although we're supposed to like him, he did bang a 13-year-old. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, he was like a creepy like young kid fucker.
I also wasn't aware I was supposed to like him.
Oh, I mean, I thought we were supposed to because he's dead. You're supposed to like everybody that's dead. Apparently when you die, no. You become, like, beatified.
Prayers up to Hitler.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, people that died recently. Not old-timey black and white people.
Oh,
like, you know,
okay.
They're all fine.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So we're going to watch Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift, next time on the show. That's it. You know where to find us. No one's listening to this part. Bye.
Bye.